Welcome to today's podcast, where we will be talking with Osman Sabir. Osman, how are you doing? It's good to see you.
Good to see you too. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. So, I haven't seen you for a while. So, what have you been up to?
It's been a few months, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Blimey. Yeah, there's been a lot going on. Things have moved on a lot in the last few months. I'm not. Where do you want me to start?
So let's start with your coaching. What's happening with you as a coach?
Yeah. So as you know, I've gone full time with my coaching. I've been doing it full time for about 18 months now.
Wow.
And really, the last few months have kind of been about consolidating my business.
Okay.
And really getting in place, I guess, the kind of systems and processes and to get a regular stream of clients. So and to also make sure that I'm kind of doing as well as I can for them.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a very brief snapshot. Obviously, there's a lot more detail in there.
So how did you go about this? No, a different question, actually. So now you've got the systems in place.
Yeah.
What were you doing before then?
Do you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what the hell I was doing. Honestly, you spend the first... So I've been coaching for about 4 years now.
Okay.
And off that, 18 months full time. And I promise you, for the first 3 years of that time, I just feel like I can look back and say I achieved X, Y, Z.
Mm.
But there was a lot of bumbling around, a lot of figuring out what the hell do you do?
Yeah.
You know, how do you actually turn this into a business?
Yeah.
How do you not panic? You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's necessarily unique to a coaching business. Mm. I think that's probably the case with a lot of people who become self-employed or kind of create their own startups. But it was just tons of just getting out there, meeting people, coaching as many people as I can, trying out different kinds of marketing, you know, workshops, speaking, online advertising, social media.
So you did the full works.
Yeah. And yeah, absolutely. And it was pretty necessary as well, because I think you kind of have to go through that process of figuring out what works. Mm. Even now, you know, I think I've got a lot better at getting the processes in place. Which, and I hate talking about it, by the way, in terms of processes and systems and stuff like that, but ultimately to create a sustainable business, you have to get those things in place. But even now, you know, I'm in a much better place than I was, but I know that I've still got some distance to go to get to where I want to get to. So, yeah, it's just loads of time just spent figuring all of that out, really. And now I've kind of found, I suppose, two or three things which really work for me.
So before we talk about the things that work, I'm really curious about the things that you did that you were like, this just doesn't work for me.
So I think the classic one for coaching businesses is networking.
Okay.
Honestly speaking, I hate networking. Maybe I'm quite introverted as a person. Doesn't mean I can't go out and network and whatnot, but for me it's... It saps so much energy that I'm wiped out after I go to a networking event.
Okay.
Similarly, when I'm out meeting people for coffee and getting to know what they do and telling them about what I do, I find that quite exhausting as well. So
that's that kind of the BNI model.
I have actually joined BNI, but I'll come onto that in a second.
Okay.
I guess when I'm talking about networking, I mean going to, you know, events with professionals in the city where you've got lots of people in a room. And also kind of meeting new people that you meet for coffee, you know, loads of coffees, going out there kind of pounding the pavement, so to speak. It's that which I find exhausting. And I wouldn't say that I'm bad at it, but I also wouldn't say it's one of my strengths.
Okay.
So the question for me was, do I try to really get better at this? Or do I accept, you know what, that doesn't quite work for me, let's try something else. And I've kind of landed on the, let's try something else. Not to say I wouldn't go back to it,
I'll
never network, but for me, that kind of open networking isn't really a priority for me anymore.
Okay.
It's just too tiring.
So what's the thing that works for you then?
So I've joined BNI.
Yeah.
And the reason that works for me is, counterintuitively, it's because I hate networking. And the reason that BNI works for me at the moment, it's not to say I'll be a member there forever, is you build relationships with a core group of people.
Okay.
And so in one respect, it doesn't actually feel like networking, because really you're getting to know the same people very well. They get to understand you, they get to understand your business, they get to understand the kinds of clients you want, the types of people you want to be introduced to.
Yeah.
So for me, it feels like a more productive use of energy.
Yeah.
And less tiring.
Okay.
The flip side of that is online advertising. So I've gone via... I've had some success via Google AdWords, had some success via Facebook ads. That, for me, is the ideal scenario.
Okay.
Because I know that people who come to me through those avenues, they're interested in coaching, which means that straight away we get into the conversation about, can I help you, and if so, how? Whereas, to go back to networking, there's a lot of groundwork that goes into getting to that conversation.
Mm.
So for me, advertising is kind of my favorite approach, and that's really where I'm, doubling down
That.
So that's where I'm putting a lot of my time and energy and money as well.
So is that something that you do, or do you have a person that sorts all of that out for you?
I started off doing it myself.
Yeah.
I've hired someone now to do the online advertising for me. So basically to take that off my hands and manage it for me. Partly because, A, I'm not an expert in online advertising. I think it's a full-time job being a coach. So to try to become an expert in Google AdWords is another full-time job.
Yeah.
So to get someone who knows what they're doing, you know, it's about expertise. You know, ultimately it's about how to get the best possible inquiries, best possible leads. And secondly, it frees up time. It means that I have to do less. It's just the way I work. I know other people would want to work differently, but for me it frees up time to do other things.
Yeah.
So for me, the time element is really, really valuable. Yeah. And that's probably another reason why networking isn't one of my favourite approaches.
Yeah. And I know you're a recent dad, so time
Is
something that becomes important to you.
Yes, exactly. I was a lot more willing to do it before I became a dad. And, you know, a lot of people say you understand what it's like when you have kids, and I'd always be like, yeah, whatever. But now I actually get it, because when I don't get to see my kid on any given day, I'm in a bad mood.
Okay.
So for me, the time element has become really, really important. I suppose the flip side of that is, yes, it means I spend more money on advertising rather than getting networking. But for me, it's a trade-off that kind of feels like it's worth it.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
And as we were talking then, I just wondered, how does having a child, how has that, or has that had any effect on how you work as a practitioner?
Yeah, definitely. I think before I had a child, I was a lot more willing to put in every hour that God gives me. Which, when you're starting out in self-employment, after 12 years of employment in the corporate world, there's a sense of, you just naturally fall into a habit of working pretty crazy hours. Partly because that might be what you're used to, or at least for me. I mean, I wouldn't say I did crazy hours, but, you know, very 9 to 6, 9 to 7 kind of days, and then you see clients in the evening. So I kind of fell into that habit, but also you always feel like you could be doing more. The onus is on you to make your money rather than seeing your salary in your bank account at the end of the month. And that was kind of the priority for me. But obviously having a kid changes that completely. So I think the question for me, and the kind of exam question for me, is how do I balance those things? And I'd be lying if I said that I'd found it easy. Like, it is really difficult. But it just means that I'm having to, I guess, focus my time a bit more.
Mm.
So make sure that, for example, I see clients 3 evenings a week. I take Mondays off completely now.
Okay.
That's a conscious decision I made to make sure that I at least get 2 or 3 days of good quality time with my son a week. I recognize a lot of my clients I see in the evening, so 3 days a week I dedicate to that completely. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and then Friday for sort of admin and other work. So it's made me, I guess I could say it's made me a lot smarter with how I use my time.
Nice.
It's made me better at planning my time. I still faff around a lot. I'm not going to lie about that. But how I allocate and plan my time, it's because it's forced me, to be frank. I wouldn't say it's a conscious decision.
Yeah.
It's because it's forced me to. Because the consequences of not doing that is you just feel like you're all over the place. And it was when I got to that position where I felt like I was all over the place that I made a conscious decision that something's got to change here. It's always the case, isn't it, that you make a change when something has to change rather than because it's the right thing to do.
It's interesting that, because as you were saying that, I was sort of thinking, I wonder how the change in you may have had a difference in the way that you coach or the kinds of clients that you get.
That's an interesting question. I think for me, I'm a lot more daring in my coaching now than I was before.
When you say daring, give me some sense of what that is for you.
I bring a lot more of myself to my sessions now. Okay. So you'll know through training and through, you know, the International Coaching Federation Code of Ethics and all that kind of stuff, there is what you would describe as, I don't know, pure coaching or conventional coaching, some ground rules perhaps, even if they're not called ground rules, you know, there
is principles.
Principles. And for me, I'm a lot more willing to break those, bring more of my own views to the sessions. You know, I'm willing to shortcut things a bit more.
Yeah.
Having now developed quite a lot of experience, built up a lot of experience of working with clients, if I see some sort of pattern, or some sort of insight, which is really obvious to me, am I going to spend half an hour navigating my way through trying to help the client ask questions to get there, or am I just going to say it up front? So I think I've become more daring, I've become more bold. I've also become a lot better at helping clients really realize what's important for them. In terms of how, again, that's through questioning, but it's also through, I wouldn't say that I'm a tough love kind of, you know, there's kind of that no bullshit approach, sorry, excuse my language, no bullshit kind of approach. But it is about being a bit more blunt.
Okay.
And
is that since you've had the child?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's, I think it's partially because I've had the child. Because it focuses your mind on what's important.
Mm.
And what I now take into my coaching, partly because of this, but also because of, you know, all my own experiences, is I always take into my own coaching, how do I help a client live in a way that leaves them with no regrets?
Nice.
And that focus has become a lot sharper in the last year. So whereas previously I wouldn't say I would have skirted around issues, but whereas previously I would have maybe held back a little bit,
yeah,
I feel like I'm just a bit more, I'm just more forthcoming.
It's lovely. It sounds like you're really naming what you're seeing in your clients and kind of holding that mirror up to them and saying, yeah, this is what I'm noticing and what's going on with this, or is this important to you?
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes it goes even further than that, where I say, look, I think you are, or I think this is going on. I would fail an Animas assessment. It's a little bit like someone who's been driving for like. It's a little bit like someone who would driving for 20 years versus taking a driving test. So I would miserably fail an Animas assessment.
So just on that, I'm curious about how do you contract that? Because if you're breaking the rules and you're telling your clients what you see and telling them what you think, how do you contract that?
I think the expectations have to be really clear up front. So in my consultations, first of all, they're quite long. So they can be between 2 to 3 hours.
Wow.
So they get a sense of who I am, how I work. I get a better sense of who they are. And there is some explicit content in there around how we work together, which brings in all that that you've referred to. But they get a sense of who I am and how I work.
Yeah.
And for me, that's just as important as the kind of written contract or verbal contract.
Yeah.
And you obviously get to know each other very well. So from the first session, there's that element of trust and rapport that's all already there.
Because you've spent 2 to 3 hours with them.
Yeah, and it's usually a very intense 2 to 3 hours as well.
So one might say that you get permission to be like that through the consultation.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I felt like an hour wasn't cutting it.
Mm.
I know some people do 30 minutes,
and
that's fine. Wasn't working for me. So this is what works. This is what works for me. Yeah.
And I'm really liking the theme of what's coming through in this conversation around you finding what works for you and not going with what people say you should or must or that's the way it's done. You're experimenting and going, well, what fits Osman as a way of working?
Do you know what? The funny thing is, I'm still not sure how I would describe it entirely. I guess for me, it's a case of making sure. I basically say two or three things to my clients. One is, I'll always be very, very honest with you. Doesn't mean, again, that I'm that kind of really that hard-ass, no bullshit kind of coach, but I'm always very honest. Secondly, I always say, look, when it comes to a coaching relationship, I put 300% into this. So you will have access to me, not just in sessions, but outside of sessions.
Okay.
You know, you'll really understand what I'm thinking about the situation.
So the access to use that email, is that phone, is that...
Depends on what they choose.
Okay.
So there's varying, you know, there's various options. But there's always some level of access. Mm. And really, the whole idea behind that is to help them feel that they've got that sounding board, they've kind of got that safe space, not just for the 2 hours that they see me, but throughout the entire kind of coaching relationship.
This reminds me of some of the stuff that Nash Popovich talked about how it's not just about getting your client to get their goal, but it's supporting them on their journey towards
that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's essential. Mm. For me, it's not even a case of optional. I think it's essential because they're with you for, what, 2, 3, 4 hours every month, physically, or if it's over the phone or Skype, than that. But they're out there living their lives, you know, for the rest of the month or the 6 months that I might be working with them. So to not provide that access for me, that would feel like I'm not doing my job properly.
Interesting.
So what I always say to them is, look, I'll be honest, I really bring a lot of myself into this. I put an enormous amount of energy into every client. And really, those are the kind of two guiding principles in terms of how I work. You know, in terms of, you have to be flexible to some extent according to the client that you are working with. You know, with some people I might be slightly more forthcoming than others, or with some people I might give them more space, or I might ask more questions, I don't know. But those two things are key. You know, I'll always be honest, and I'll always give 300% yeah. of myself to every person that I work with.
And so do you have a particular type of client or a niche that you're working yeah. within?
So at the moment, I work with a lot of professionals in the corporate world.
Okay.
So typical clients, financial services firms, so investment bankers, you know, a very popular client. I've worked with quite a lot of management consultants, solicitors, people in that kind of space.
So as I'm hearing you say that, I know there are lots of coaches that will be going, how did he get those clients? Those are the clients that I want to get hold of. And was there a particular way that you went about doing that?
So for me, when you ask the question, how do you get, you know, how do you find these types of people? In a sense, it happens quite naturally for me because that's the mindset I understand. Those are the kind of people that I understand. And so most of the work I do, most of the people I meet, they somehow fall into a world which they fall into a world which kind of relates. Sorry, let me take a step back. You know, they kind of fall into that world somehow. Mm. So it kind of comes quite naturally to me.
Yeah. So I suppose part of what I'm hearing there is you've been through this experience. Mm. So there is a relating that you're able to do with them and an empathy that you're able to offer because of having done what they're going through. And so they probably can pick that up from you and sense that.
Absolutely.
From you.
Absolutely. I think what also helps is, you know, when somebody's looking for a coach, they'll look at various options, whether, you know, let's say Google or online. And I've had quite a lot of people say to me, you look like the coach that I feel like I can most work with. And the reason for that isn't necessarily because I'm the best coach in the world. It's because they look at my presence. They look at my website, they look at my kind of online presence and see that it resonates with them more than Coach X or Coach Y. And I think they like the fact that there's someone who's had, you know, the kind of corporate background.
I suppose because it allows them to feel or to know that they'll be understood.
Yeah.
And I that's, you know, a real key thing in coaching is that the client feels understood. And by knowing that you've been on that experience, they can do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm just curious about, are there any other things that you bring to the table in terms of what you do? So you've got your one-to-one clients. Is there is there any mentoring or group work that you do?
At the moment, it's purely one-to-one work.
Okay.
That's a bit of a lie. So I do a very small amount of corporate work.
Okay.
You know, that's probably 5-10% of my income. For me, that came through existing contacts. It's not something I've actively pursued. Very good opportunity, very good experience. But for me, the one-to-one work is what I really enjoy at the moment. Awesome. It's not to say it won't change later on, but that's really where my focus is. I know there are a lot of coaches out there who do various things, but for me, it's very much one-to-one.
Brilliant.
Coaching, yeah.
And it's great to hear that you have a thriving practice as a one-to-one coach when it's been full-time for 18 months.
Yeah.
I think sometimes as coaches we think that it's immediate and we panic when it doesn't happen straight away.
Yeah.
Without recognising that there's this sort of time frame of work that we need to put in order to get that practice.
Mm. I've panicked a lot. Still do sometimes. Look, I'm a natural warrior.
Okay.
You know, I've been diagnosed with OCD, severe anxiety. So I've really had to learn not just how to build a business, but how to deal with the psychological side.
So do you get support around that?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of therapy. You know, I've had a lot of CBT. I've had previously I had counselling. I'm currently seeing a CBT therapist. To help me with OCD and anxiety. It would be easy for me to try to figure it out by myself, but ultimately a person goes to see a coach because they think a coach can bring something to the table that they can't.
Mm.
Similarly for me, yes, I've now become a lot better at dealing with anxiety. But I want someone who can bring something to the table. And that's why, you know, I did my own research, found someone who I thought would be really good, and I've been working with them for the last few months now.
Awesome.
So I think that, I mean, there's a wider message there around not being afraid to kind of get that help, or seeing it as a sign of weakness is a strong word, but yeah. You know what I mean, yeah. Right?
I hear. And do you, what's your thoughts around supervision?
I've had supervision. I've provided it to. So I'm not supervising anyone at the moment. I think it's incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
As long as there's a recognition that a supervisor, are you talking about coaching supervision?
Yeah,
As long as there's a recognition that a coaching supervisor isn't there to sort of fix your practice or tell you what to do and all that, all that kind of stuff, you know, it's, especially if your coaching forms a big part of your business or employment, it's very easy to get wrapped up in the day-to-day activity and not take a step back and figure out how can I actually do things more effectively.
Yeah.
And that's where supervision comes in. And also, you know, coaching can take a kind of mental and emotional toll, as with any of the kind of helping professions. So it's a good space for you to just kind of say what's on your mind as well. So for me, I've had supervision. You know, I found it really helpful to kind of enable me to take a step back and figure out, what is it that I can actually improve here?
Yeah.
You know, why is it sometimes that I feel exhausted doing this? And how, you know, what can I do to change that? Or am I okay with that? It's taking the time and the space to actually answer those questions, or rather explore them.
Yeah.
So I personally would highly recommend it. I know it's not obligatory or mandatory in any way, but it's for your own benefit. And ultimately, the way I look at it is, supervision makes you a better. If it makes you a better coach, it improves the work you do for your clients.
So it kind of makes sense.
Exactly. So for me, it's a bit of a no-brainer.
Awesome, brilliant. So it's been great talking with you, Osman. And I'm just for people watching or listening, where can we find you? How can we get hold of you?
Yeah, so the first step is my website. So just www.osmansabir.com. So I'm not sure if I need to spell it out, but it's OSMANSABIR. You know, always happy for people to contact me if they want to find out more about my journey or to discuss their journey. So, yeah, the website is the main thing. I've also got a LinkedIn profile.
Cool.
I'm not massively active on Facebook. Okay. So I do have a Facebook page, but I haven't actually used it in about a year. So website, LinkedIn,
okay.
Or just get in touch.
Cool.
You know, it would always be good to hear from people and hear where they are on their journey.
Brilliant.
So, yeah.
Lovely. It's been great talking with you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much
Appreciate it.
For coming down and talking with us today.